Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Romance. Bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest romantic authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love. All strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you John Cleary's unusual story, Den of Thieves. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum refreshes you. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum gives you real chewing enjoyment. Yes, for chewing enjoyment plus refreshment, it's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, delicious flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth, helps keep your throat moist, and gives you a nice little lift. The good, smooth chewing of Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you feeling fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So for chewing enjoyment plus refreshment, treat yourself often to Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Now, with Virginia Gregg starred as Patty and Ben Wright as Alec, here is the first act of Den of Thieves.
That had brought me from Plymouth disappeared around the corner with a wink of its tail light. And I found myself standing alone and cold in the high street. The English coastal town of Wortlecliffe was not at all what I had imagined. Stone cottages lining the streets were dark and silent in the early dusk. Below me was the bay, and I could see the masts of several sunken ships rolling above the water. The street was deserted except for a man leaning against a mailbox at the corner. I picked up my suitcases and walked toward him. Good evening.
Good evening, miss.
I just got off the Plymouth bus and I thought...
I saw you.
I thought perhaps you could direct me. I'm looking for the Malthus home.
Oh, you're the new American exchange teacher. You've taken Miss Bright's place.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
I rather thought you'd be in on the bus tonight. School starts tomorrow.
Look, if you would just tell me how to get to the Malthus home, I'd be most appreciative.
You're annoyed with me, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. It's just that I have appointed myself a welcoming committee. There's no one at the Malifax home right now. They're out in the boat.
In the boat?
But this is a fishing village.
Oh, of course. Just sounded strange, is all.
I'm Alec Cardigan.
Patty Fanners, from New York.
How do you do? Well, I don't imagine that Wortlecliffe is quite up to your expectations, Miss Fannery.
Well, it's more quiet than I thought it would be.
Yes, sometimes. But the people here like it. They and their grandparents before them have for hundreds of years.
Well, you don't live here?
Oh, great heavens, no. No. No, I'm just visiting.
Vacation?
Yes. Well, in a way. Look here, it's going to be several hours yet before you can get settled at the Malifax. Would you care for something at the Hungry Man?
Hungry Man?
It's the pub across the street.
Oh. Well, I...
It's quite proper, I assure you. After all, it's the only public house in Wortlecliffe.
Oh, I don't know. After all, I'm the new teacher.
Oh, nonsense. Now, come on. We'll have a nice pot of tea and some cress sandwiches, right by the fire. After that bus ride, you must be freezing.
All right. But if the school board is annoyed, I'll tell them you're to blame.
I doubt they even have a school board here. Come along up. I'll just get your bags, and here we go to the Hungry Man.
Alex Cardigan is right. The warm tea and the funny little sandwiches made me feel human again. Even Wortlecliffe seemed more cheery as we sat laughing and talking in front of the open fire. And all too suddenly, it was time for me to go. And we walked the length of High Street through the crisp summer night. The cheeriness of the pub faded as we came to a stop in front of one of the houses.
Well, this is it. The Malifax Mansion.
Gloomy, isn't it?
Well, they're not a bad lot. You'll get along famously. I'll see you tomorrow, perhaps. Good night.
Good night. Flannery. Patty Flannery.
Yes?
I'm the new teacher. You are Mr. Maliphant.
Yes, I'm Noah Maliphant. Come in. Come in. Wait till I light this lamp. You're a pretty thing.
Mr. Maliphant, where will I sleep? Live?
Up there, at the top of the stairs. You're going to stay with us all winter, teacher?
Yes.
Here in this house?
That was what I understood.
And that was right, too.
Oh, this is Miss Flannery. This is my wife, Mrs. Maliphant.
You're late. The book got in 2 hours back.
I was told you went home. So I went to the hungry man for something to eat.
Who told you?
Mr. Cardigan.
The surveyor chap.
I don't know what he is. He didn't say.
I see. Well, we got back late. Noah.
Hmm?
Take teacher's things up to her room. What did that surveyor, that Mr. Cardigan, tell you?
About what, Mrs. Maliphant?
About us. And Wortle Cliff.
He said we should get on famously. That's about all.
Good. And we will, too. You've eaten?
Yes, at the pub.
Well, then I'll pack upstairs. We go to bed early here, when we can.
Oh, teacher suitcases are in a room.
Well, we're just going up. Tomorrow's a school morning, Miss Flannery. We'll meet our children at breakfast. There are 6 of them. We eat at 7. Noah will take you to school at 8. Come along.
And that was my introduction to the household where I was to live for the coming year. My room was small, but there was a desk under the window, a kerosene lamp burning on it. An iron bed stood darkly in the corner. I thought of his comfortable backyard, complete with sun chairs and barbecue, the teacher with whom I traded places of enjoying. Miss Bright would like New York. I went to bed. In the morning, I woke with a start. It was almost 8. I quickly dressed and ran downstairs. Noah had already left. After a cup of coffee in the kitchen, I found my way to the schoolhouse. Alice was waiting for me.
You're late.
That's the second time I've been told that.
Well, how did you make out with the malefactors?
Oh, just famously.
Yes, they are hard to get used to.
You seem to know a great deal about the people here and the town for someone who's just vacationing.
Well, it's a small place. One hears things.
Noah said you're a surveyor.
Oh. Oh, so it's out, hmm? Well, yes, I am.
What are you doing here?
I'm with the Ministry of Works, the 3 of us. But the other 2 chaps are billeted in a place near here. We meet in the mornings up on the main road to Penzance.
Something secret?
No, not particularly. We're plotting a new road in case they open up an old army camp back in the woods.
Oh.
I said I was on vacation because, well, no need for useless talk.
Not even very romantic. I thought I was going to be late for my first day of school, but I seem to be the first here. I wonder where the children are.
Inside.
Inside where?
In the schoolhouse behind you. They were all there at 8 on the dot. You'll find them a very serious crowd. That's why you don't hear them.
If this had happened at home, they'd have torn the schoolhouse down by now. I'd better get in.
Yes. Good luck.
Good morning, children.
Good morning.
I'm your new teacher for this year, taking Miss Bright's place. My name is Miss Flannery. You may sit down now. Children, while we are getting to know each other, there may be things I don't understand at first. So I'm going to need your help. And in turn, I may be able to help you. I think we'll get along beautifully. Now, for this first hour, we'll have an exercise. While you're doing it, I'll be able to go over some of Miss Bright's old roll books and perhaps I can learn to know each of you a little sooner. So, for now, take pencil and paper and write your name at the top. Then write a few short lines about where you live, what you do, what you like, and what you will be when you grow up. When you're through, you can bring them up and put them on the corner of my desk. All right. Go ahead.
A most industrious class, Miss Flanagan. Permit me to introduce myself. Miss Ritz-Lanty, the Squire.
Oh, how do you do? I'm
Miss Flanagan, yes, I know. I'm pleased to know you. I have something to tell the children here. I hope I'm not interrupting your class.
Oh, no, not at all.
Of course, it will be of interest to you too, Miss Flannery, and it's something you should know about. You don't mind.
Of course not, sir. Go right ahead.
It is now just 8:53. Children, some half hour ago, the excise men were in the town square.
Excise?
Searching for smuggled goods, contraband. And you children will be happy to know that nothing was discovered amiss in the village of Wirtlecliff. That's right, Falcon, very right.
Well, that's very interesting, isn't it, class?
And now, children, I think Miss Flannery ought to be let into the picture. Would you step this way, Miss Flannery? Bascom, would you just lift the lid of your desk like a good child? There you are.
But this desk is filled with perfume.
Yes, indeed. Scent perfume. Imported. Thank you, Boston. You may close your desk now. And Adam, would you lift the lid to your desk, please? Thank you, my little man.
Nylon.
Correct again, Miss Flanagan. And again, they are imported. Thank you, Adam. And now close your desk and get back to your lesson. I think it is needless to go through the entire classroom, Miss Flanagan. Each desk would be much like the others, each filled with some little goodies from the continent for the people of Britain.
Contraband. This is what the excise men were looking for.
Oh, but they'd never think of looking in the schoolroom of the young American exchange teacher. And if they did look, think what an awful fix you'd be in. Because after all, the villages would stick together. And I should have to blame someone. Shouldn't I, Miss Flannery? Preposterous? Not at all. Rather, it's a lucrative business. Going to tell the coppers on us? No. No, you're not the type. You've come all the way from America to Wirtlecliff to be informed, not to inform. Oh, you must do some informing, of course, but you will restrict it to the children. Won't you, Miss Flannery?
Village of smugglers. Isn't it true?
Quite right, Miss Flannery. And they're fine children, following in their father's footsteps. If we are not caught, the children of these children perhaps will carry on the business.
Oh, but you will be caught. Sooner or later, surely you'll be caught.
No, perhaps. But I doubt it. The whole plan has been carefully worked out. And besides, I'm the, shall we say, mastermind.
And I've never put in such a day in my life. Did you know the whole smuggling plan is run by Squire Ypsilanti?
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Well, my advice is to stay in the village and not to try to leave it.
You mean I'm in danger?
Yes.
Can't you do something about it?
No, it's not my department.
The whole thing is like a nightmare. A comedy nightmare. How did this happen to a whole village, a community, that to a man is criminal?
Paddy, for 700 years, this has been a fishing town. Huh? People have made their living from the sea. Well, then came the war, and for some reason, no one knows why, the fish left.
Just like that?
Just like that. There's no industry here. There's nothing. Well, the people had to live. Smuggling started.
But it's wrong, Alex.
I know, but people have to eat.
And the children, they treat it like a great, wonderful game.
Well, to them it is.
And this Mr. Ypsilanti, the squire, how does he excuse himself? He's an educated man. He has money.
Well, I suppose they needed someone to coordinate them.
The children look on him as some sort of a hero.
Yes, I suppose they do. Each one hopes someday to take his place as boss.
What am I to do, Alex? Must I just sit there and mind my own business? forget I know anything about it.
If you want to stay alive.
Friends, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint while you're working. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint gives you a refreshing little lift. The smooth, pleasant chewing of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum helps keep you feeling relaxed and satisfied, makes your job seem easier. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum in your home, when you're out walking or driving, when you're enjoying outdoor sports and other activities. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum tastes good anytime, and the natural chewing aids digestion and helps keep your teeth bright and attractive. Yes, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now for the second act of Den of Thieves, as we return to romance.
Stayed on at Whittleton, living at night in a smuggler's home and teaching by day in a schoolhouse that served as a depot for the contraband items. Days passed, and Alec Cardigan was always near hand, but they were not unpleasant. He was a pipe-smoking sort of traveled Englishman who can be completely charming. And he was. On rather stormy Saturday night, we had gone to a movie in the next village. And it was late before we got back. We were standing before the small soup-burning grate in the Malifax home.
Oh, that fire feels wonderful.
Well, if it weren't so late, I'd fix you something hot to drink.
Oh, no, not for me. I've got to be running along anyway.
Thanks so much for the movie. Cinema.
Well, it's a good job I had you along. That wind would have my little two-seater right off the cliff if you hadn't been there to weigh it down.
Oh, what a backhanded compliment that is.
Oh, no, seriously, Patty. I've enjoyed it. Every moment of it. Oh, the only harsh note is that I won't be staying on here much longer. I'll be sorry to leave. I'll miss you, Patty.
I'll miss you too, Alex. But then that school full of strange, silent children will need my undivided attention.
Yeah. Well, I'm off, Patty. I'll see you tomorrow,
perhaps.
You
do come in. Was there any sign of Noah?
Why, no, Mrs. Malifax.
Why, in a blur like this, you can't see across the square.
Why, there is Noah.
Out with the boat.
The boat tonight?
In weather like this?
Aye. To pick up more goods from the French coast.
Well, he'll be lucky if it's not washed overboard and himself along with it.
Noah can handle a boat in any weather. But I wish he was home. He'll be all right.
Yes, of course.
But why in the world on a night like this?
Mr. Ypsilanti said it's not too bad. And besides, there's no excise man after he's sniffing about.
Mr. Ypsilanti said it was okay.
What?
It's Mr. Ypsilanti. Where is he now, Mrs. Malifax?
Why, home, I suppose.
That's what I thought.
Now, Patty, I'd stay out of this if I were you.
You'd stay out of it? Fine. That's just fine. That's just what Ypsilanti's doing while those men, the whole village, are out there in that storm. You'd stay out of it. Well, let me tell you something. But no! No!
It's all right, Mother. I'm all right.
Oh, you're home, Noah.
I'm home.
Oh, no.
But I lost the boat. It sunk back there in the black water by the rocks. It's gone.
Noah, you're hurt.
Not bad, teacher. But my two men are drowned.
The next morning, Sunday, broke fresh and clear after the storm. By the time I dressed and got downstairs, breakfast was finished, and Noah was alone in the front room reading the family Bible. I went on through the kitchen, warmed some coffee, and heated up the now cold porridge. Sitting at the kitchen table, my mind wandered to my home, to New York. I came back to Whittlecliff with a snap. Noah was talking to someone in the front room. It was Mr. Ypsilanti.
I want you to go out again tonight, Noah.
But my boat's under the water, Squire. I can't.
You could get another boat. Borrow one, I mean.
Well, last night was bad, poor bad. The lads will be fixing their gear.
Noah, this is important. More important than any trip we've made yet.
But Squire...
We might almost say it's imperative.
I've got to go.
No, you're the best man in the village. I don't like to give orders. You know that. Let us just say, I think it would be advisable.
When do I start?
There's a good man. This trip will be slightly different. You'll not pick up anything this time. No, this time you'll carry a passenger. Man.
Carry a man? To where, Squire?
To the coast of France. I'll give you the details later, but be ready just after dusk. This man will meet you on the beach. Agreed?
Agreed, Squire.
And now, if you've coffee warmed, I'll just have a cup and be on my... Good morning, Miss Flannery.
Good morning, Mr. Philander.
Breakfast?
Yes.
Teaching is a great profession, Miss Flannery.
I like it.
One garners so many bits of information. Have you found that sometimes knowledge can be dangerous?
Sometimes.
For instance, if one overheard a conversation, it might be better to forget about it entirely, mightn't it?
It would depend on what was said.
Yes, of course. To quote somewhat tightly, Miss Flannery, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Oh, but then so far you've been such a clever girl. Oh, what a pity. Coffee is all gone.
Mr. Philander's cherubic face wrinkled into a smile as he left. He obviously didn't know how much I'd heard of his conversation with Noah. One thing is certain. He was nervous and worried. Whatever he was planning was big. Bigger even than the smuggling. And this meant that I was in more danger than before. I searched out Alec, and together we sat in a small, empty schoolroom while I told him everything I knew.
And he didn't name the person?
No, no, he just said the man would be on the beach to meet Nora after dusk.
Has he?
Oh, Alec, I'm afraid. I'm really afraid.
Oh, now, Patty, look. It's a beautiful sunny Sunday morning. The birds are singing.
Alec, I know it sounds crazy, but this man is surrounded as evil.
Oh, Patty. I suppose I wasn't very funny. Patty. Patty, I'm sorry.
Oh, a most touching scene. Just stay where you are, Mr. Cardigan.
Is there any need for that gun?
I rather think there is. And I am sorry, Miss Flannery, but like so many of your sex, you talk too much.
You can leave her out of this, Ypsilanti.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't. You see, I'm much more thorough than you, Mr. Cardigan. You made so many errors of omission when you posed as a surveyor. I checked through my contacts. And there are no plans for a new road, no surveyors working in this area, nothing. But MI5 has three men down here.
MI5?
MI5 is the top investigation service in this country. It's a secret service, you know. And our Mr. Cardigan is a member of it.
What have you done with Rupert Beck?
I imagine he's at my house having his 11th.
You're a cold one, Ypsilanti. A communist spy in your home, and you're sheltering him. Preparing to smuggle him out of the country. And you're going to make these villagers a party to
it. Oh, how moral we are, Mr. Cardigan.
So he's the man you were going to take to the continent?
Yes, Miss Flannery. Only not where. I'm going to have him smuggled out tonight.
Not by me.
No!
No!
Thanks, Noah. If you hadn't come along...
I heard most of it, Mr. Cardigan, but... I don't understand.
Oh, Beck is a communist spy. He's working in our atomic research plant. He's trying to get out of the country with valuable data.
And Squire Ypsilanti was a communist?
No, he's just a traitor. He was offered a great deal of money for this.
And you knew about the smuggling all the time?
Yes, but we had to wait.
I for jail? And my wife, too?
No, I don't think so, Noah. Not now.
Mr. Cardigan, we villagers may have cheated the government a small slight now and then, but we don't hold with the train.
No, I know.
But, Mr. Cardigan, that
what I came to see about.
Look.
Huh? A fish?
Aye. And young Boscombe's got more, and so have the other children. They fished this morning just for fun.
You mean the fish are back?
It looks that way. We were going out in the boats within the hour to make certain.
Oh, Noah, that's wonderful.
Oh, they'll stay this time it is.
And now you can give up the smuggling.
Aye. It'll be dull around here for a while, but we'll get used to it. Well, shall I round off some of the lads, Mr. Cardigan? We could go after that Rupert Beck together. I'd like a hand in it.
Good lad, Noah. Come on, let's go.
So within an hour, the entire village is silently closed in on the squire's house in the hedgerow. And Rupert Beck was caught. But he wasn't having tea. He was hiding in a clothes hamper beside the laundry
tub. Really, that's the whole thing, Sandy.
I ought to hate you for telling me so many lies.
Oh, I had to, darling. I'm sorry. The government doesn't allow for love.
Alice, you're a fool. A delightful one.
Oh. Well, now I do have something to tell. Something I've been saving. I'm going to ask Miss Stanley to stay over on this side of the Atlantic for good. Not for just a year. I'm going to ask her to be Mrs. Alex Cardigan. You think she would?
Why don't you ask her?
Remember, friends, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum refreshes you. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum gives you real chewing enjoyment. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth, freshens your taste, sweetens your breath. The smooth, pleasant chewing of Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you feeling relaxed and satisfied, makes whatever you're doing more enjoyable. Yes, for refreshment plus chewing enjoyment, treat yourself often to Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Millions enjoy it daily. Get a few packages and always keep some handy. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight, you have heard Den of Thieves by John Clary, starring Virginia Gregg with Ben Wright. Polly Bear with Mr. Ypsilanti. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Irene Tedrow, and Richard Beals. Editorial supervision is by John Meston and musical supervision by Earl Towner. Next week, be sure to join us again when Romance brings you Sigmund Bird's unusual story, Old Man's Bride. Roy Rowan speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.